when Pastor Bob asked me to do this sermon, a lot of things have just kind of been falling into place. It's been, you know, it's I would say weird, but I know who's in control. And it's been pretty neat, just all the things I've been hearing, all the passages and verses I've been able to just pick out of different things and use and apply for this message. And I go back to Washington, you know, and my mom, bless her heart, she's amazing. She, you know, had a couple Bibles and things ready for me. She had the Ryrie Study Bible, the New American Standard, and which was a big blessing because I know the NASB is what everyone pretty much uses here, and what Pastor Bob uses and what y'all are used to. Usually I use the NET, but I thought, this is awesome. I love the study notes out of it, and I've been getting a lot out of it just in these last couple days that I've been back. Adding a lot more to the sermon and stuff, just from all this little stuff happening out of nowhere. It's just been, I don't know, it's just been so amazing. And, you know, I was kind of wondering what I should call this. I didn't really know how to name this sermon. And funny thing was, before Pastor Bob had even asked me to do this, I was kind of depressed and sad how many people in Washington especially. I mean, I have so many friends and I know so many people, and it's just so sad how many people are Christians, but not only do they not live it, but you couldn't tell by any aspect or part of their life. You couldn't tell they're a Christian. I mean, you would have to flat out ask them, do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, you know? And even then, sometimes it'd be a little wary, you know, well, you know, it depends. You know, it's just, it's really sad that there's so much of that. And, you know, I was really thinking about, I just wish there was a mess. I just wish something would just hit the heart of those people and just wake them up. I wish there was something. And there is. There's God and there's the Holy Spirit. You know, the people are the ones that have to open their eyes. I mean, I realize that God's always trying. God's always there. It's not up to God. It's up to us to do that. And so doing this has just been an incredible blessing. It kind of puts a whole new aspect on things when you're looking at the Bible. How can I can teach it? And, you know, a lot of times I look at the Bible and just think, okay, I just need to apply this to my life. Well, doing it and trying to come up with a sermon, that's a whole different spin on things. And again, been such a blessing. So I didn't really know a name for this. I didn't really know how to, I mean, it covers so many things, using his name in vain. And not just verbally, but we really use God's name in vain when we think about it in our lives. You know, once people know we're a Christian and we don't live that way, that's using his name in vain. Anything we do that's contrary to that. It's about the gospel, giving the gospel to somebody, about evangelizing. It's about living it. It's about so much. I didn't know how to give it a name. So I heard this joke a while ago and I thought this was perfect. It just sums it right up, and what better? Well, I guess to start it off, there's this lady and she's driving in her car, and she's already late. She's already late to work, got her coffee. She's got an important meeting to go to. She's in her car and she's in traffic. So she's just, oh my goodness. You can imagine, she's a Christian. Well, she has her coffee in her hand, she's going, and this guy, this jerk, pulls right out in front of her and almost hits her. She has to slam on her brakes, spills the coffee all over herself. She's all dressed up. Oh, she's already late to work. She doesn't have time for any of this. She's just losing it, and this guy's just laughing. She sees him he's just in the rearview mirror, and he's just laughing. Oh, she just gets right on his tail. She's riding him. She honks at him. She drives by and looks at him, gives him a mean look, and walks off. She's still mad, you know, how he shouldn't get away from that. And she's just thinking about how horrible this guy is. Well, then about 30 seconds later, she's going along, she sees the cop car right behind her and the lights are going off. She's like, oh no, what do I do? She looks down, she looks at her speed limit, everything's fine. Oh. So she pulls over and she kind of gets her driver's license and reach out and gets her car information. And the cop just runs right up to the car and says, get out right now. Give me the car information. He takes it from her and just shoves her right up against the car. I mean, she's just smashed right up there. She's like, she's stuttering. She doesn't know where to start or what's going on here. She was doing everything right, and here she is, face planted right against her window. Well, he starts going over the car information as he has her right there. And he was in the middle of cuffing her, but he goes through the car information. He looks at it all and realizes there's nothing wrong. He goes, ma'am, I'm so sorry. He lets her go and goes, I apologize. That's my fault. Here you go. You're free to go. And he starts walking off. He goes, again, I apologize so much. She goes, wait, what was that all about? You can't just do that. That's not, no way. Why did you do that? And he goes, well, ma'am, you know, I saw the way you're acting back there, and I thought it was a stolen vehicle because I saw the fish on the back of the car. And how true is that? I thought, you know, we put these fishes, we put all these things in our life. We have our t-shirts and our welcome mats, and we have all these little things that kind of define us as a Christian, right? We do all these little things, and they, you know, they're all well and good, but I love Stephen Curtis Chapman's song that says, "What about the change?" You know, we need to be changing daily, day in and day out, being diligent studiers of the Word, but more than being studiers, applying it to our life. This lady could have had all the doctrine in the world, this lady in that car. That lady in the car was me. I mean, I wear a big fish necklace around all the time, and I always do something contrary to that. And that's what we're doing. You know, really, we have tattooed on her face, "I'm a follower of Christ." And then we go around and do something totally opposite of that. How sad is that? You know, just to give you kind of a background, I grew up in a public school in Arlington, Washington. And it was really, it was kind of sad because I grew up on R.B. Thiem Jr., getting great doctrine. I grew up with an awesome mom who could take me through the scriptures and just answer pretty much any question based on the Bible and not just her own opinion. And a lot of times she'd say, "Well, search the scriptures, see if it's true, Radley," you know, and that was amazing. I mean, I grew up with everything I needed. I mean, of course I had everything I needed. I have God's Word and I have the Holy Spirit and I have everything Christ did for me. But I was very fortunate. I was very lucky. I was very blessed. And we realize what we have when we don't have it anymore, right? And moving here, you kind of realize what you had, and I do that a lot. Anyway, I went to a public school, and you know what? I was pretty embarrassed to even tell people that I was a Christian. I wouldn't even talk about it with people, because I knew that if I talked about being a Christian, or if I talked about Christianity or Jesus Christ or anything about the Bible or even religion in general, if I talked about anything that touched on a spiritual basis, I was embarrassed. I wouldn't even do it because I knew that I wasn't living it. I was such a hypocrite. You know, a lot of my friends knew I was Christians, but I never talked about it with them because I knew if I talked to them about them, they would just laugh and go, "Yeah, look at this. Look at this guy." They didn't respect me at all. How could they respect my words? And, you know, I regret that. There were so many opportunities I had to witness with my life, to give these people the gospel, to talk to them about Christ. They needed it. I mean, so many of my friends, yeah, I had a lot of friends that were Christians, but they were in the same boat as I was. You know, you just never talked about it. It was almost like this unspoken code that went around. Okay, yeah, we're Christians, but we just kind of keep it under the rug. You don't really talk about it because that makes things uncomfortable. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. When you come to Jesus Christ, really you're saying everything before this point that I've been doing has been wrong. Everything until now has been upside down. Everything, my whole life, has not been for you. And if it's not for you, it's for who? You know, it's hard to do that when you're partying, when you're having fun, when you're out there with your friends. You don't want to do that. You don't want to sit there and go, "Yeah, everything I'm doing right now and everything I've been doing is wrong." You want to justify it, right? I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to reason it and logically look at it. Anyway, that's kind of my background. And so I think this message, trust me, is more for me than for anybody else. That's why it's been such a big blessing to be doing this sermon. I don't know. I have so much application left to do, and I think that's why I picked this study to do. I haven't even really gotten into it yet. I'm getting ready to get into it, but I think I don't want to say it qualifies me, but I have a lot that I can give as examples from my personal background and my personal life, in the sense that I had all the doctrine in the world, but it didn't save me. It didn't do anything. It didn't. Breaks my heart thinking about it, but it didn't help anybody. It didn't help all of my friends. Anyway, if you would, I don't have a PowerPoint. All you have to look at is me. I'm sorry about that. But I know y'all used to have. But if you would, flip your Bibles to Matthew 5:15. I'm sure everyone's pretty familiar with this verse. This kind of sums it up, and just I know a lot of people quote this, and this has gone over a lot, but Matthew 5:15, "Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now notice that good works is after the light shining, right? You know, a lot of times we go out and we want to witness to somebody. We do that so much. We want to witness to somebody. We want to give somebody the gospel. We want them to get saved, don't we? I mean, look how much I've seen so many people that have they just got saved, they're baby Christians, and they're so eager. They have that fire, you know, they have that fire of a new Christian. And I wish we could all keep that forever. But I wish also that they would realize something, that you can't go out to people and give them the gospel so much as you have to let them come to you. You have to be that light. I mean, a light, it says it so perfect there. I can't say it in any other way, but I can only kind of describe it. Don't put it under a basket. And how much, I mean, that's what I was doing my whole life. I was putting my light under a basket, putting that lamp. Now, I was in the darkest of places. I mean, that's why I love public schools. I mean, I don't love public schools, but I love them because what did Jesus say when the Pharisees were talking? The Pharisees talking to his disciples, and they were kind of mocking Jesus. And they said, look at him. He's going to the tax collectors and the sinners and the worst people. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said one of the most simplest things. It's common sense, but it just blows your mind away. I mean, that was the awesome thing of Jesus. He said, a doctor doesn't go to healthy people. He goes to sick. I love public schools because there's millions and millions of sick people in public schools, including the teachers and the staff and everything. Everybody's sick. You know what? I was a doctor there, but I was like the worst doctor there could be. You know, I was a doctor that was sitting there saying, you know, you got to watch your cholesterol, and had like a piece of pizza in hand, dipping it in ranch. I mean, that's what I was. I was a complete hypocrite. I mean, that's why I never talked about Christ. I mean, it's so embarrassing. And looking back at it, I'm so unbelievably ashamed. It keeps me up at night sometimes to think how many people could have talked to about it, could have witnessed with my life. And you just can't get hung over on that, I guess. Anyway, I want to read 16 again. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, we know that doesn't mean you're out there waving a sign. Look at me, look at what I did. You're not out there doing that. In everything, we need to be humble. I think that's one of the number one things in the Christian life. We need to be humble in every aspect of our life. Humility is just one of those things that it's just the hardest thing to do, even though it seems so simple. And we need to be having a life where people can see that here we are. We're a different face in the crowd. We're this light in all this darkness. We are the smiling face in the crowd that's all depressed and lonely. Because we're in the same world as all these unbelievers, right? We're in the same world and going through the same problems as they are. We have the same storm falling down on us as the rest of the crowd, but we have a smile on our face. People are going, whoa, he's either crazy or he knows something I don't know, you know, and they want to find out. That's what we need to be. You know, how many bugs are attracted to light in the darkness? If it was light everywhere, they wouldn't notice it, right? You turn on a flashlight in the sun, oh, big deal, nothing really happens. But I'm not saying go to the dark places. I'm not saying send your kids to public schools. I think there are there's a lot of kids who should be private schooled or homeschooled, and I think in our day and age, it's the best thing. It's public schools are so impressionable. They're horrible. I mean, all the ideas and the way. I mean, a kid is just so able to be impressed. I mean, he's impressionable, and there's all these ideas and just total horrible thoughts and everything going around, and influences from every kind of world aspect you can just think of in the public schools. It's horrible. But at the same time, it's one of the most darkest places. But what I am trying to say is, we live in this dark world. Bottom line, we live here. We go to work. Well, most of us at least go to work. We're out in public. We're everywhere. We're people who are not saved. Now, I'm not talking about the people you see in the grocery store in line for 5 seconds. You don't have much of an opportunity to tell them everything and show them how your light shines. But the people who you see day in and day out, the people you see at your work, the people you do see all the time, wherever it may be, your family members, it may be your husband, it may be your wife, it could be anybody. Bottom line is, whoever you're seeing, never, just please, never use God's name in vain. And we use God's name in vain way more than we do I'm not just talking about verbally. I'm not even talking about using it up here mentally. I'm saying we use God's name in vain when we have that fish on our car, and we sit there and get mad because we have coffee spilled on our lap, or we're in traffic, or some jerk cut us off. And we get mad over that, and we just get so irate and yell over it. That's using God's name in vain, because people see we're a Christian, right? And then here we go and do something totally contrary to that, something so hypocritical, and they laugh about it. and then you have no basis to talk to them, right? If you went to work with somebody and they knew you were Christian, but you went to the parties, you did everything they did, or maybe it wasn't even that, you lived the same life as an unbeliever. They couldn't even tell you apart. And then someday you try giving them the gospel or talking to them about Christ. Someday you just feel moved, or someday you love them and you just want them to be saved and you want to tell them. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to go, yeah, okay, obviously it doesn't work for you. You're no different than me. They're just going to laugh. They're not going to respect your words if they don't respect your life. Your life has to be first, right? That's what I love about this light message. I mean, it's just so perfect. You can't put it under a basket. And when we do that so much in our life, I don't think we realize how much we put it under a basket. Any little time that we're not praising God, anything that happens to us as Christians, some little bad thing or some little annoying thing happens to us, and we sit there and go, we just sit there and get so frustrated over it. That really is. And God sees all of that, and he's sitting up there and going, oh, man, I have it all right here, you know. I put you in the perfect place. You have everything you need, and you're not listening to me. All right, let's go ahead and look at Galatians 5:25, please. I love this because he's kind of, I don't know, I look at it as almost being a little sarcastic too. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's perfect. He's saying, okay, are you a Christian? Then act like it. Grow up. I mean, that's really what it almost sounds like he's saying right here in Galatians. If we live by the Spirit, then let us walk by the Spirit. Let us do it. If we go to church and we claim we're a Christian and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have it. I mean, we have salvation. We have all these things. Then let us walk by the Spirit. Let us actually do it. Let's walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Guys, you have everything. You have so much here. You have this church, and we have the Bible. And more importantly, we have God. We have what Christ did on that cross. We have salvation. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have His Word. You guys have everything. And not to mention countless study materials. So many teachers. You have a great pastor, Pastor Bob. I mean, there's not many pastors around here that are studiers and just diligently searching the Scriptures and teaching so greatly as the few pastors that we have, and Pastor Bob included. I mean, I'm just so thankful to be here. It's an unbelievable blessing to be here. And I just, after growing up for about 18 years, for 18 years, and, you know, I had a Pastor Ken Jensen, I sat under him for about a year and a half, 2 years. And I'll tell you what, he really got God's love and God's grace. He got it because he had been in so many low points in his life. He had been kicked so hard or spanked so hard that I think Pastor Ken Jensen really got it because he had to really fall on his knees and say, all right, God, I need to be humble. You know, he was one of the humblest people I've ever met. And even though he had so much knowledge and doctrine, and it blew me away. It just blew me away how Pastor Ken Jensen was. And I don't know, I just think about that man all the time when I think about trials or things we're going through, and he just had a lot to say, but I'm getting a little off topic here. What I'm trying to say is we need to be living by the Spirit more than hearers of the word. We need to be doers of the word. I know you've heard that verse a lot of times, and that's so true. We need to be doers of it. What I'm asking really is, you have all the stuff available here. I mean, how long have you been going to this church, and how much study material is out there, and what has God done for you? Go out there and apply this stuff, and really this message, I'll be honest with you, is for so many of my friends, and so many of my Christian friends, so many people I know up in Washington too. I mean, I just grew up with, and it's just frustrating when you see so many people, they have that light, they have that hope, but they just don't let anybody know about it. They have the good news, but they won't share it with anybody, you know, and they might talk to somebody about it, but how can you share the good news way more than with your life than you do with your words. Your life is so much louder than your words. It's such a big testimony when you just live this. I mean, if we were complete hypocrites, we have no basis, and we have no rock to stand on. All right, let's go ahead and Let's go ahead and look at Corinthians 11:22. 1 Corinthians 11:22. I'm sorry. It's 2 Corinthians 11:22. My fault. I love what Paul says here, and I love how he says, you know, I'm speaking foolishly right now, but I'm doing it because basically you guys are fools and you can understand it. And that just speaks to me. I'm up there with the fools, so I got it pretty good. I'll go ahead and start off here. It says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, on the sea, and dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. If I have to, down to 30, if I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. What he's saying here is given his credentials. Look at him. Paul went through 20 times worse stuff than we did, too. Even more than that. Paul went through so much, yet he still glorified God, right? He still never turned away from him. He went through all this stuff and still loved God. I mean, what a martyr, really. I mean, without dying, he did everything pretty much short of. And many times left for dead. But the thing is, he witnessed with his life so much. And he did that before he witnessed with his words. I mean, when you get beaten that much and you get lashed that much and you go through so much from nature and from people and from your friends, and then you still glorify God, that's a pretty big testimony. I'm not saying go out and, you know, go into prison and get lashed and do all this stuff so that you have a good testimony. Really what I'm saying is we can use what we've been through as such a testimony, as such a light and an encouragement to other people. Like I said, we're in the same storm as them. We have the same rain falling on us. As a matter of fact, we have even more because we're under testing and temptation from the world, from Satan. We're under it from everywhere. We have a little rain cloud also above us as long as we're here on this earth. And if we can just smile during that time, if we can just lift our heads up and not be depressed that whole time, just as Paul was, think about what a testimony that is. Look at the people in other countries. I mean, I've seen so many testimonies on TV of Muslims converting to Christianity. And they, you know why they converted to Christianity? Because they saw these Muslims over there that had converted before, and they're under so much pressure, it's unbelievable. They're being killed, buildings being burned down. They're going through like so much worse than we have it over here. They're being martyred over there like crazy. And these Muslims see that love, and they're like, okay, what is this? There's got to be something there. They check into it, and they get saved. I can't remember what it was. It was about a year ago we were watching this thing. It was about Christian news, basically. I don't know if anybody's seen it. And it might be on TBN or that Christian station, I don't know. But it was a Christian news, and they talk about pretty much all what's going on around the world through evangelism and missionaries and pastors and all the bad stuff, the good stuff, all the different stuff going on. And that was their main focus for a couple days. And I thought, how amazing. Here are these people in a country so much worse than us, but they're still glorifying God, everything they're going through. Look at us. We get mad over the simplest little things, don't we? I mean, I love how Pastor Bob says it. We expect popcorn to be ready in like 30 seconds, right? We get so frustrated if we don't have our instant popcorn or if we don't have our instant food. We get frustrated over these tiny little things. And here's these people over there being killed and their buildings being burned down and their loved ones, I mean, just being tortured and murdered. But they still believe in God and still they're glorifying Him. And look how many people it's bringing to Christ. You don't see that on the news, do you? You know, I wish you could. I wish you'd see that around, but you, dang it, you don't. And I just think if we did what they did over in those countries, if we did that now, think about how much of a testimony that would be. Think how many, how awesome, just how many people that would bring in if we acted like they did. Why, we have everything. We have so much available. Just we have so many blessings we don't even realize it. You know, functional health, just for one. I mean, I sit there and I look at Gary and I just realize how blessed, unbelievably blessed I am. Day in and day out. I feel so bad for him, but that's his testing and he loves it. And he's glorifying God with his life. He's a prime example of what I'm trying to preach. He sits there and after all he's going through and he says, yeah, this is what God's given me. Isn't it great? I mean, I love it when he goes to the hospital, all of his stories. And he says, yeah, I'm dying. Yeah. It's a good thing. You know, he just blows their mind away. But that's how we need to be. We need to be that with every little aspect of our life. Yeah, I got this going on, but it's okay. What do you mean it's okay? No, it's fine. God's got it under control. We need to blow people away with how calm we are, with our peace of mind, with our joy. I mean, we just need to reflect God in our life. Now, we can't really go out and preach to people and give them the gospel until we're doing this, until our lives are like that. You know, let me see, I might be getting a little ahead of myself, but let's go ahead and look at, this will kind of, I mean, I know you guys have seen this verse before, but this will kind of show you what I mean. 1 Corinthians, and it is 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18. I'll go ahead and read. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved is the power of God. I'll tell you what, for years, I loved meeting new people. I loved meeting new people when I went to, when I was in school, because I got a chance to talk to someone about Christ who didn't know my background. So they didn't know how much of a sleazebag I really was. I mean, that's what I was. You know, I just, here was somebody new, I got to give them the gospel, and they didn't know I was a complete hypocrite. Oh, cool, you know, I got to hide that pizza for a little bit. And it was sad because I would go to people and try to talk to them about Christ. I would go to so many people, I mean, I argued with this girl. Bless her heart, I argued with this girl for about 2.5 hours up in the hotel room. I was on a DECA trip, you know, this business trip, and we were in Seattle or Bellevue, it doesn't matter, and we were competing, and it was a big blast. You know, no one went to compete or win or do that. Everyone went to stay in the hotels in Seattle and miss school for a couple of days and got to meet a bunch of people. And plus, the guys loved it because the ratio of women to guys was 5-1, so, you know, it was just a big party. It was just a big excuse to get out and have fun. That's really all it was, in the name of school. Anyway, as we're sitting there in the hotel room, we're all about to go down to the pool. It was like three of us were in my room, and this girl, and somehow we got on the subject, and she didn't really know me, so I was talking to her about Christ, and she was just completely negative. And she had all these viewpoints and stuff, and I brought her into dead end over dead end over dead end over dead end. Every point, I mean, I argued with her logically. I argued with her spiritually, I argued with her historically, in every sense that you can think of, I brought her to a dead end on every one of her points. I made it to where she could not prove anything, and I proved everything I said, not only by quoting some scriptures, I didn't quote too many scriptures, but proving it logically to her and everything, and making her understand. You know, at the very end of it, I said, so what do you think? And she goes, I just don't believe. It broke my heart. I mean, it just hit me right in between the eyes. I'll tell you what, I mean, I was going about 30 and I hit a brick wall. I couldn't believe it. You know, it doesn't matter how much we argue. It doesn't matter how our words sound. It doesn't matter how much we prove somebody wrong. It doesn't matter if we sit there and talk with them and bring them into dead end over dead end. It doesn't matter if we get up there and we sound all high and mighty and we remember all the right verses at the right time. That's not what matters at all. You know what matters? that person wanting to know God, and let them come to you. Let them see your light. Let your life be such, let it just shine so much that when they want to know, they'll see you and come to you. How many times have you tried to go give the gospel to somebody and it didn't work? I mean, I know we've had our multiple fair share in those moments. I mean, that's not the only one, but that was the main one that really stuck out in my head. It didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter what I say. She had negative volition and nothing was going to change that but her. She was the only one that could change that. You know what? For the rest of the time, I did make sure that I never did anything kind of hypocritical in front of her. Maybe she would believe, but she never did. And I thought, how sad. But then you want to hear a huge blessing. I was up in Washington. I got back a couple days ago, and when I was up there, I was playing a trading card game. I was at this old place I used to go to, and I was playing a trading card game, and they had this band, they had some live music come in, and it was a couple kids who wanted to play, and it was, oh my goodness, it was just horrible. I got done playing a game, and I just walked out. It was, this one kid had this, like, power drill thing without the bit on it, and he's rubbing it on his guitar. I mean, that's not music. That's just, whoa, okay, whatever, I'm out of here. It was just weird, and I was sitting outside, and I'm sitting there by my car, and I'm like, God, I shouldn't even be associated with this. I say, you know, I shouldn't even be here, and It was this Friday, actually. It was this last Friday night, and I was like, man, I really didn't know what to do, and I started praying. I'm sitting out there by my car. I'm just sitting there praying, talking with God, and kind of mulling it over, and I'm going, you know, Lord, I need a little help here. I don't think I should stay, you know, and I always pray before I go out to that place now, too, especially my last couple days when I was under Pastor Ken Jensen. I always prayed that, Lord, I don't care if I come in first place in this tournament. I don't care if I win $1 million. If I get to save one person, if one person asks me about Christ, man, my heart will skip a beat. And that's all that matters. If I get to talk with somebody about God, that'll be amazing. And that was my whole focus going out. Well, you know, as I was going back in there, I said, well, Lord, you know what? No one's come to me and everyone seems a little negative. So I think I'm going to go in there, grab my cards and take off. Go home. Getting into the Bible. I love getting into the Bible when you have those depressing moments like that. Nothing to pick you up, like His Word. But as I was about to go inside, there was this guy on his phone. And he was in there playing in the tournament as well. I recognized him. And as I was going inside, I just went like that. I just kind of waved at him. I kept going. He said, wait. Hey. And he called me over. And he walked towards me. And I walked over there. I said, yeah. He said, hey, you know what? He said, you helped me out. You helped me make my deck. And I've won every game since then with this deck. I said, oh, well, that's good news. That's cool. He said, man, thank you so much for doing that. That was so cool. I said, yeah, what a blessing. He slipped those little things in there, you know, just to see, get a little reader, you know, send your radar out there. And anyway, I don't know. I didn't get anything. And then we started talking, and I said, well, yeah, you know, I don't live here. I live in Texas. And I said, I'm going to a seminary down there. And that's always a good, you know, conversation starter right there, I guess. Yeah, I don't live here. But I'm a couple thousand miles away from home. But we got to talking, and you know what? It was amazing. He started talking about Christ, and he had so many questions. And he wanted to know, and he was hungry. And he started questioning me. He says, all right, well, now I have this question. And he started asking me different things about the Bible. And then he started asking me, well, do you believe like only 144,000 or whatever are going to, you know, heaven? I laughed. We went into that conversation, and you know, I talked to him, and I said, listen, you know, it sounds like you've heard a lot of opinions, it sounds like you've heard a lot of things that people have said. I said, you need to just listen to God, and I said, and you need to listen to His Word for yourself. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and He came down for the whole world. That's not 144,000, I think there's a lot more than that in the whole world. And the guy was amazed, and he, you know, he sat there, and he said, all right. Said, yeah. And I don't know if you believe right then and there, but I definitely know a big seed was planted at least. And you know what? I would tell you what, that made my night. I didn't care about anything else. It blew me away. And the only reason this guy would talk to me, he was all hard and he was kind of ornery. He was like in his 50s or something. He was an older man. And he was just like, you know, and he opened up after I helped him out make his deck. Because I saw a big flaw in his, you know, the way he was playing. And I said, hey, I can help you out. Nah, I said, all right, so, well, let me just take a look at it, you know. And I helped him out, and he won all of his next games, and it blew him away. And he really opened up and got to talking with me. But you know what? It made me realize something. we have to shine with our lives before we can talk to these people. That guy never would have talked to me. He never would have talked to some little 19-year-old, you know, nothing in there playing cards, some little geek. He never would have talked to me until I until I got to show him a little bit of Christ in my life. The only reason I could do that kindness was because of what Christ did on that cross. And if we can reflect that in our life, think about how many people will come to us. We don't even need to come to them. Because if we go to them, we're trying to make something happen. We are. We're trying to make the Holy Spirit. We're like, all right, God, you're going to save this person, right? Here we go. No, it's up to them. Let them come to you. But they're not going to come to you if they don't see your light. They're not going to come to you if they don't see that smile on your face. If they don't see something different. For the same as everybody else, well, what's the point? All right, well, let's go ahead. And I love also, I'm going to go ahead and read it again, 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. I mean, he came to preach the gospel, but look at what Paul said. Look how many times I've been beaten. Look at how my life shines more than my words. All right, let's go ahead and flip now to Matthew 15. It's going to be 10 through 20. I'm sorry, 15 after, right, is when I'm done? Okay. All right, here we are. Go ahead and start. After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, hear and understand, it is not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. The disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. What I'm trying to see here is don't go home and wash your hands today. Don't go home and try to be living it or try to be spiritual. It's like putting plastic fruit on a tree, right? Look at what I've done. Look at all these things I've done. Look at these nice little fruit. But God, I'll tell you what, God doesn't work with plastic. No, sir. And don't go home and do that. What I'm saying is go home and love God. Go home and get into His Word. And just love God so that these things will come naturally. If you love God, I mean, think about it. Don't we love people who love us? You know? Don't we really like people who like us? We like friends who like us. We love family members who love us. We love our dog because he, you know, we come home and they just start shaking their tail and then they, you know, pee everywhere. But that's okay. That just shows how much they love us. We love that, right? We love to be loved. If we love to be loved, think about how much God loves us. God loves us infinitely more than everybody else. Or anything else, for that matter. If we think about that, we should be so unbelievably happy all the time. As a matter of fact, we should almost never get upset. Tell you what, I'm I'm pointing the finger right here. There's so many times I need to apply that, you know. We should never be upset. We should never do anything contrary. Because everything that happens and everything He does is totally in love. All right, now if you would... if you would please flip to Colossians 4, 5, and 6. I love this one. All right. I'll go ahead and start in 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. But what came first? What came first in verse 5 before verse 6? Conduct, right? Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders. make the most of every opportunity. First comes the conducting, and then come the words in verse 6, right? We need to live our life with wisdom. We need to be living our life as a light, not hidden under the basket, and then we can be, then we can let our speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. First, conduct yourself according to the Word of God. If you're of the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and then talk to people about it. You know, you have to have your credentials first. And, you know, it says wisdom in there. A lot of times we pray for wisdom like it's just going to come down in a pretty little package. You know, it's just going to have, you know, a nice little bow on top, and we unwrap it, and there's wisdom. You know, hey, Mom, my package came in the mail, and should have got an express delivery. It took a little while, but, you know, that's how we really act, how what wisdom's like. Wisdom, we should pray for wisdom, but more importantly, let's use the time we have to get wise. Let's get into the Bible. We have everything we need right here. We have everything we need through a church here, this awesome church, Pastor Bob, through all of the study material. So let's take that time to get wise. Let's take that time to get into the Scriptures and apply the things to our life so that when we need wisdom, we don't have to hear it and go, oh no, God, give me wisdom. We can go, all right, God, bring up the things I already know. Remind me of them. Remind me of the Scriptures. Help me out here. Fill me up with the Holy Spirit and just give me wisdom. We don't have to just rely on wisdom all of a sudden because we're in a little bit of a mess, you know, and not that he ever gives us a test we can't handle, but we sure can prepare for it. A lot of times we prepare for that. I love how RB Theme always said it. I always just listened to his teen tapes. I thought he was so funny. He had so many little stories, and he was so unbelievably dogmatic, but I loved it. But he would always talk about how we prepare for the charge of the elephant, but we never prepare for the bite of the mosquito. We always prepare for that big testing, don't we? That's so true. In our lives, we always do that. But we never prepare ourselves for those little darts. I mean, what does it say? Satan throws his little fiery darts, right? It doesn't say he has a big hammer and he's out in the open hitting us with it on the head. No, he's sneaky. He throws little darts. And what happens if you don't clean a wound? It infects, right? It gets infected. It spreads. Think about it. You throw a little fiery dart and you don't take care of it. You don't watch that dart. That spreads. I love the way it says, you know, he prounces, he goes around like a roaring lion, but he does. He is sneaky. He's unbelievably subtle. And when he throws these little darts, we're not really prepared for that. We're ready for the sword to come down. We got our shield ready, right? But then here comes this little dart on our back, and we're not ready for it. Some little thought, you're maybe judgmenting somebody, or you're a little jealous, or something happened that just wasn't too fair. Maybe you know, something at work, somebody did you wrong, did your boss did you wrong. You know, I a good example of that, I was at work, and this guy Mark, he was one of the bartenders, and he was a shorter fellow, not that that really mattered, but he kind of didn't like me to start off, and I was in the bathroom one day, and he came in. I think he was just getting off. He was second shift. I was first shift. I was getting done. He was starting. And as he comes into the bathroom, he looked at me. He looked at me for a while. And I like to joke around, especially, you know, with people I know. Anyway, he was looking at me for a while for some reason. And he said something. He mumbled something. Said hey. He said hey. That's what he said. Now, he had been kind of a jerk to me before, but I was always nice to him anyway. And he was looking at me for a while, and I said, what are you looking at? And I joked, and I laughed afterwards. He said, what'd you say? I said, nothing. It won't be funny now. And he said, no, what'd you say? I said, nothing. It's done over. It wouldn't be funny now. And he got mad. He goes, no, what'd you say? I said, what are you looking at? And he thought he knew I wasn't serious, but he took it as an opportunity to really get mad and get in my face. Well, it was kind of funny because he turned around in the stall, closed the door, and then he started talking smack, which I thought was kind of funny. But he went in there and he said, you know what, if you really, he started wanting to fight me, bottom line. He started kind of threatening me, and he said, you know, well, we go outside and we could take care of this. And I just kind of laughed, you know. I laughed, and that made him more mad. I guess I shouldn't have laughed, but I just thought the whole situation was kind of funny, you know. And I just kind of shrugged it off, and I said, well, I'll see you later, Mark. And I walked out of the bathroom, and he was pretty mad. And I saw him a couple weeks later, and he'd give me a look every now and then. He didn't want to say anything, and I didn't say anything. And I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to sit down and talk to him and said, Mark, listen, we may have had a misunderstanding. I apologize for that, and I want to let you know I'm not here to prove that I'm better than anybody else. As a matter of fact, I know I'm a lot worse. I wanted to sit him down and say, but the only reason I'm anything is because of Christ. I wanted to sit down and give him the gospel. But, you know, I never had that opportunity. I was a little bummed, but I realize now, you know, if it was meant to be, that God would have made the opportunity. I'm not upset about that anymore. But I did, my last day at Applebee's, he had an order up. He had this big order. No one was in the back to help him out. There was like two cooks on. It was in the middle between dinner and lunch where no one works. But sometimes we'll get this weird rush in there that doesn't make any sense, and you're not prepared for it because you just let everyone go. It was one of those times. Mark was on. He had this like huge order, all these people. And I went back there, and I was off the clock. And I didn't have my apron or anything on. And I went back there, and I saw this huge order, and he's kind of sitting there. He didn't know what to do. And I went up there. I looked at the screen, looked at the food, and looked what he needed, and started preparing it. And I got everything ready for him. I got the food all ready and pretty quick. And I got the food down. I mean, it helped that I cooked at Red Robin before I worked at Applebee's. I could handle food okay. But I got that done real fast and set it up. And I said, well, what table are we going to? And took it out for him, and he was blown away. And I didn't even think about it. I mean, I wasn't even thinking that it was Mark. He was just blown away, and he said, well, you know, he was stuttering, and he couldn't even look at me, and he said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it was such a small thing, but I think it hit him, you know, that I wasn't trying to be mean to him. I wasn't trying to be prideful. You know, if we can do that in every aspect of our life, think about it. I'm not saying be me. Please don't be me. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I've just been recently finding out these things. And it's kind of sad it's taken me this long with all the doctrine, with all the teaching I've had, with everything that's been available to me. And I have no excuse whatsoever. None of us have an excuse. And it's kind of sad that it took me this long to get that, you know. And that's a big message I want to give to the kids. You know, you have great parents who love you. You have all the doctrine you need. You have this church. And even if you don't have this church, if you're listening and you don't have this church, you have the Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. You have Christ who came down and saved you. You don't need much more than that. You know, there's churches everywhere. There's so much stuff available. We live in this country with so many blessings that we don't even realize. Take advantage of them. Don't be kicking yourself later. I mean, like I'm doing. All right, let's go ahead now, please. If you would flip to, we got to scroll down here. This bubble keeps popping up. Let's go ahead and flip to Matthew 12, 36 and 37. I know I keep going back to Matthew after we just flipped out of it, don't I? Just realized that. I'm sorry. Whew. All right, Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that, I'm sorry, one sec, 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Guys, how many of us can record our speech all day with our friends out in public and work, with our family? When we're by ourselves, when we're in traffic. How many of us can record our speech all day, hand it to an unbeliever, play it for him, let him listen to all of it, and unashamed look at him and say, I'm a Christian. How many of us can do that? I mean, if you can, my hat's off to you, because I know I can't. I'd be ashamed. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have slipped up there. No, that's not very godly of me. Everything we do, I mean, look at every word is going to be accounted for. That's a pretty big deal. It's not just, the most important stuff. It's every word. And God knows it. And He sees it all the time. It's a little bit scary to think of, but how many of us can do that? How many of us can open the front door of our house, let Him in, let Him look all around and say, unashamed, I'm a Christian? How many of us can we do that in so many aspects of our life? Say, I'm a Christian and not be ashamed. It's kind of a sad thought, but really we are. We're on display. We're under the magnifying glass once people know we're a Christian. We really are. And I see so many people, especially in Washington, it's hard not to be judgmental. You don't want to be judgmental, but there's so many people who are complaining about how they don't have money or they don't have this and that. And they're so sad because everything's going wrong for them, but they have enough money to get their couple Starbucks coffee every morning, you know, and to go and get this and that and get this and that. And, you know, but they'll ask for prayer on, you know, all these things, and they'll cry to you. But they're not living it. It's just so sad to see that. And it just gives Christians such a bad name. I'm not saying God can't work through that. I'm not limiting the Holy Spirit or God in any way whatsoever. I mean, I know He can work all things together for good for those who love Him. It's just the key part on us. We need to keep loving Him, right? All right. Go ahead and look also at Ephesians 4:29 and 30. It's kind of the parallel passage for this. Go ahead and start in 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You guys aren't of this world. We know that. No unwholesome word proceed from our mouth. And think about it. I mean, we can't even record our speech for one day and look at it unashamed. I know I can't. I speak for myself. If we can't do these simple little things to glorify God, how can we do these bigger things we want to do? Think about how can we give the gospel to somebody else if we can't do these little, tiny little things? As watching what words come out of our mouths, what posters maybe we have up in a room. Just something, the cleanliness of our house, just these little things. We should be exceptional. We should be far above, right? Like the Marines, we just never quit. We're just way up there. That's how we need to be as the Christian way of life. We're different. We're new creatures. We're not of the old world. We need to look different, seem different in every aspect of our life. Not just our words. Because what did Paul say? He said it pretty perfect. He said, you know, conduct yourself and then your words. The conducting, that came first. The living it came first. Don't hide your light away. Shine your light. But it's a lot harder than it sounds. It's day in and day out. It's not only studying this. It's not just getting into this. And it's not listening to Pastor Bob. It's not coming to this church. It's constantly doing it. Day in and day out. It's applying it. Because you can have all the doctrine in the world, and it doesn't matter if you don't do a thing with it. You can have all the doctrine. You can be brilliant. I mean, you can know the original languages. You can do all this and that. But if you don't show Christ in your life, if you don't have that love of Christ, and if you're not applying the things you learn, what's the point? Let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's be doers. That's so much more important. You know, we talk about fruit and we talk about trees so much, right? We need to have roots first. Roots come first. That brings me to the next passage here. Go ahead and flip to Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up. We need to get the roots first. We need to get the foundation. What's Christ? The cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. He's that first block. So let's start building on it. And that comes with application. That comes with living. That comes with showing it in our life. That's the biggest way we can give the gospel to somebody, we can evangelize, is with our life. It's so much louder in our words. I mean, we can scream the gospel on the top of our lungs. How much good is that going to do? But if we show it day in and day out, as Paul did, he's one of the prime examples. Because look at him. He just got lashed. He got beaten. He got made fun of. He got argued every little bit. He went into depressing moments where he met people with negative volition. His own people, the Jews. He had so much happen to him. But still, he kept on trucking, right? He just kept on going. He kept on glorifying God and showing his light. He never hid it under a basket. I don't want to say never, but you know what I mean. If we can just be an ounce like that, if we can just be a little bit like the Muslims over there that are being martyred just for believing Jesus Christ, just for having a Bible, just for going to church, stuff we take for granted in this country, stuff we take for granted day in and day out, that we don't have to hear gunshots every day, I mean, unless you live in New York City at night. I mean, but you know what I mean. All this stuff we take for granted. If we just took an ounce of what they do and applied it to our lives, man, think about how much that would be. Think about this nation and where it might be. Because they would have someone to look at. They would have a light to see. Again, never mind. I just forgot what I was going to say. That's all right. I kind of heard it. I think I heard it somewhere. I think it might have been. Funny thing is, I talked with my mom a bit, and I might have heard it from my mom. But, you know, we have to have flowers before we can have fruit. And the flowers really are what people see, right? And we have to don't do this to have fruit. Don't apply these things so you can give people the gospel accurately. Do it because you love God. This stuff should come naturally, right? I'm not asking you to go home and clean up your house or watch your words now. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to love God and get into the Bible, and that stuff will fall into place naturally. Because God loves us so much, if we just love Him a little, just more, just an ounce of how much He loves us, well, that stuff will just, we'll just do that automatically because of our love. That's not going to be, I mean, it's not gonna, like, that's the plastic fruit right there. Okay, I'm a clean person, I don't do this, I don't do that. No, that doesn't matter. So what? That doesn't make you holy. The Pharisees were perfect according to the law, right? According to the people's eyes. They did everything right. But they had just, they didn't even, I mean, they probably didn't even have trees, let alone they're putting plastic fruit there. It was just kind of, it's just so sad. We need to put our priorities straight. Let's get the roots first and get the flowers. Because what do bees do? They go around from flower to flower, right? That's, when you think about it, you can use that analogy even maybe for somebody who's an unbeliever. They see these flowers. They go and get a little bit of pollen from it. I mean, That's such an amazing thing, just nature and the way God works. Let's do that. Let's have some flowers for people to see and come to. People love flowers. I mean, I haven't met too many people that just hate them, unless you have allergies to them, of course. All right, so, and that pretty much wraps it up. I want to look at James 4:17, though, as a last verse here. Oh, goodness gracious, I didn't even open it up in prayer. It just hit me. I can't believe that. Okay, that's all right. James 4:17. Therefore, to no one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is a sin. I mean, we know the right thing to do, right? We know we should be applying these things. We know we should be living it day in and day out. We know we should be watching every aspect of our life. And when we don't do that, that's just as much of a sin as doing something. I mean, the sin of omission, the sin of not doing something we know is right. I think that's worse than anything. And I think that's sad because my whole life, that was me. It's me right there. My whole life, knowing what to do and never doing it. Oh, man. Breaks my heart. I wonder how many people might have been saved, or how many people would have seen Christ at least if I had been doing that. That's why I say to the kids, don't have regrets or anything. I mean, I'm only 19. Think about the people who have been doing it a lot longer than me. I feel sorry for them. All right, that pretty much wraps it up. I want to thank everybody. Thank everyone for putting up with me. And I'm sorry I don't have a presentation, but I may do, I guess, with what I had. I'm going to go ahead and close it now in prayer. If you please bow with me. Oh, dear Lord, thank you so much for everything you've supplied. Thank you so much for your continual grace in our lives, even the things we don't see or acknowledge, Lord. Let us do as Pastor Bob had said this morning, but wake up and not grow up and just gripe about all the little stuff we don't have or what's going on in our lives. But let's just count our blessings, Lord, and just praise you for them. Even our testing, it's such a blessing. Even though it may not seem like it, Lord, it's such a testimony to you. Let's do that, Lord. I just pray that me, first and foremost, that I apply these things to my life. And I pray that these people do as well. That they will just take what has been spoken today and what is spoken every day, Lord, and they'll just get into your word. And more than just being hearers of it and listeners and studying it, but they'll be doers. That they will show your word out there to the world, Lord. Let them just be a light. Let them be a doctor to everybody and not hypocritical in any way. Oh, Lord, thank you so much again for putting us where we are, for this church, for Pastor Bob, for all of the people here, Lord, that make up the body, for the whole Nate, for everyone, for all the Christians that make up the body, Lord. And thank you for this country that we live in and we have so many free rights. Lord, I just pray now as we go out that you give everybody traveling mercies, and more importantly that you'll just be putting a burden on them, whatever part of their life it is that needs to be worked on, Lord, that they will do that. And not just now we know, we know that if we don't do something and we know we should, that's just as much of a sin. So let us not do that. Let us go out and do these things, even though it's hard and even though it requires diligence, Lord. Please help us with that. I pray all of this in Christ's most precious name. Amen.